July 20th, 1969, the Apollo lunar module landed on the surface of the moon. Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin spent a total of 21 hours and 36 minutes on the surface of the planet. This was the completion of a goal that was set by President John F. Kennedy back in May of 1961, that we would put a man on the moon by the end of the decade. So that means that some 2,920 days were spent getting ready for them to spend less than 24 hours on the surface of the moon. I guess it's true. Success is 90% preparation, 10% perspiration. We all know it to be true. Whether we're baking a cake or building a house, it all comes down to preparation. The bigger the task, the more we prepare for it. Perhaps this explains why Jesus spent 3 years with his disciples, teaching them, walking alongside of them. And then after his resurrection, he appeared to them over the course of 40 days and then made them wait another 10 days before they got the gift of the Holy Spirit, because what he was preparing for them was an enormous task. The mission that he was given to them was to go and make disciples of all nations, that they would be his witnesses starting in Jerusalem and to the ends of the earth. Because those disciples were faithful to that mission, you and I are gathered in Jesus' name this morning. If they would have backed away, if they would have said, it's too much, we can't handle it, the movement would have died, and you and I wouldn't know Jesus as our Savior. But they were faithful. They were faithful to the mission that Jesus gave them. Even though they were entering into Jerusalem, that a very small percentage of the population of that city even knew who Jesus was, an even smaller percentage would know him as the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior. But yet, they went on the mission that Jesus gave them. It's the same mission that's given to you and to me. We are to go and make disciples of all nations. We are to be his witnesses, starting here in our own area and reaching out to the ends of the earth. And as much as the disciples were in the middle of a mission field, we are in the middle of a mission field. They say, according to the last census, that only 40% of those around us have any kind of church affiliation. So if you break that down to our immediate area, the place that we could reasonably reach people, that means 60% or 120,000 people have no church affiliation. I'm not talking all of Chandler. I'm talking just the segment that we could reasonably reach, 120,000 people. They say in the next 5 years, we're slated for a 19% growth. That's another 40,000 people that will be coming into our area. The harvest is plentiful. And the mission of God is real. What an opportunity we have to impact and change lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're right in the middle of it. And we've got exciting things on the horizon with our ministry expansion on the North property. So we need to take our cue from the disciples and take the time to make sure that we are prepared. If we take a look at the disciples, they did three things. They believed the promises of God, they devoted themselves to prayer, and they started getting ready. They believed the promises of God. I say that because why did they stick around? Most times when you have a movement and the leader leaves or is removed, Jesus goes up to heaven. Usually then, there's fighting for power in the group. Eventually, they disband and the movement ends. But not so with the disciples. The disciples go back to Jerusalem just as Jesus had asked them to do. There's no infighting. There's no striving for power in the group. They're waiting for the promise that God had said he would send them his Holy Spirit. You see, they believe the promises of God. They had spent 3 years at the feet of Jesus, listening to him, being taught by him. For 3 years, they witnessed the miracles of Jesus and the things that he did, the greatest of which was the resurrection from the dead. That was the defining moment for all of history. When Jesus, no one ever did it before, no one ever did it since, when he comes forth out of the grave, they saw him dead on Friday, now he's alive on Sunday. So they believed his promises. And then on top of all of that, Luke tells us that during those 40 days when he was appearing to the disciples before he ascended into heaven, that he even opened up the scriptures to them. So take a look at verse 45 of chapter 24. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Now remember, the scriptures for them are what we know as the Old Testament, right? New Testament didn't exist yet. So he showed them and opened up for them that the prophets, Moses, all of that pointed to Jesus being the Messiah. Equipped with that, they believed the promises of God, so they knew that something big was coming, and they knew that God would follow through, and they would get the gift of the Holy Spirit. Promises are still true today. God's promises and God's mission is just as true today as it was back then for them. And we as individuals, and certainly we as risen Savior, have never backed away from the mission that God has given to us. If we look at the history of our congregation, there are any number of times where it would have been easy to back away from the mission that God has given to us. We could come up with a number of excuses to say why we can't be bold in moving forward in the mission of God, but we never have. Because our core value is courage over complacency. Risen Savior, from what I see, has never been complacent. And I pray that we never will be complacent, that we'll continue to be bold, bold in the mission of God, believing his promises. We have sat at the feet of Jesus through the scriptures as he has taught us and instructed us. We have seen his miracles, yes, in the pages of scripture, but my guess, you've seen his miracles in your life. I know I've seen his miracles in my life. We've already been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. It happened at our baptism. So we believe in the promises. As we get ready for the harvest, we prepare ourselves by reminding ourselves of the promises and holding firm to them. Second thing the apostles did, they were devoted to prayer. Kind of a theme all the way through the book of Acts, actually, is the early church. They very much took prayer very seriously. But take a look at how it says it in verse 14 of Acts chapter 1. All of these, he's talking about all of the disciples, all of these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. Now, what's interesting here is what's translated with one accord. It's actually two words. The first word is to be in close proximity. They were close to one another. And I mean physically close to one another. So in other words, they were in the same place. They didn't all go off to their own homes and not talk to each other for 10 days, but they gathered together for mutual encouragement, right? So they were close together. The second word is a word that means unity, that they had the same mind, they had the same way of thinking, they had the same spirit. So in other words, they were all focused on the same mission that Jesus gave to them. So here's the key. They stayed together as a group, and they were united in their mission that Jesus had given to them. They knew that if they were going to be successful, first of all, they had to have God, but they had to have one another as well. We need to be devoted to prayer. We need to abide with one another. We need each other. Please never dismiss fellowship among believers. Fellowship among believers, it's part in the heartbeat of a congregation. We need to be connected with one another. We need to have friendships with one another. We need to enjoy each other's company so we can build each other up. We are stronger together. So never dismiss the fellowship of believers. It's an important part of who we are. We need to be together. And we need to gather together. We also need to be of one mind and of one spirit. of one mindset. We need to get behind the one mission that God has given to us. We need to be about engaging all generations to be passionate followers of our risen Savior. United behind that, and then delve into prayer, asking God to bless that, asking God to empower that, asking God to give us wisdom as we go forward in all of that. We've got to be about that. Especially over the next year, everything has to be grounded in prayer. That's why in the coming months, you're going to see resources coming out for you about prayer. There's going to be occasions where we're going to have calling you come together just for an evening of prayer, to pray for our church, to pray for the future, to pray that we would be wise in our ministry so that we can fulfill the mission that God has given to us. In addition to that, I'm asking you personally to pray for your church. Every day, if you remember, just a short prayer for your church, that God would keep us true to His word, that we would be grounded in Him, that we would take His mission seriously and be bold with what He asks us to do. I ask that you pray for the leaders of this congregation, that God would give them courage and God would give them discernment. I ask that you would pray for the staff, that you would give us strength, you would give us wisdom to lead well. This all has to be grounded in prayer. We need to be together devoted to prayer. Third thing the apostles did, they started getting ready. It's grounded in prayer, that's the surface, but they didn't just stop there. They didn't pray for a while and just sit back in their easy chairs. They started getting ready. They looked at one another and says, we are one man down. Judas betrayed Jesus, then Judas took his own life. We're one down from the 12. So they set about the business of asking God, who is it that's going to take his place? But listen to how they go about it. It's very intentional and it's very strategic. All right, we pick it up in verse 21. So we're talking about the pool of candidates. So one of the men who have accompanied us during the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. All right, so it's got to be someone who's been with us, has been around Jesus, but then they go even more specific than that, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us. So from before Jesus began his ministry, the preparation that John the Baptist made, all the way to when Jesus ascended into heaven. The person has to have all of that, been with us the entire time. Why? The integrity of the gospel. They had to have one message. They needed an eyewitness, someone who was there from the very beginning all the way until the end when Jesus went to heaven. Why? For this reason. One of these men must become with us a witness to the resurrection. That's it. That's the pinnacle event. That's the game changer. It's the resurrection. And they know that when they go out, they're going to give witness, and they've got a story to tell that's going to be hard to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on Friday, but he came back to life on Sunday. So all 12 of them are going to give witness to the resurrection because that's the power of the gospel. So they were getting ready. They knew something big was coming. And when the Holy Spirit hit them, they wanted to hit the ground running. It's time for us to get ready for the harvest. We need to get ready. A lot of things are going to happen, certainly over the next year, the next 5 years. In the next 12 to 14 months, we're essentially going to double the size of our campus with the ministry expansion. I know it doesn't look like it right now. It's just dirt sitting out there. Yeah, it's kind of hung up in the county right now. No, I'm not bitter. But we're going to get there. You know what's going to happen. You know that the building is going to go up, and buildings aren't ministry, but ministry happens there. And when people see the construction and they see the building, curiosity is going to kick in. Most people are going to think a new church is opening up in South Chandler, but we know it's not a new church. It's a well-established church with all of its resources behind it. But when people see those doors open up, if for nothing else, just out of curiosity, they're going to walk through our doors. Now, that's not very spiritual. I'll go with you on that, but I'll take it. If that's what brings them through the door, I'll take it. That's an opportunity for us to share the good news with them. Right? On top of that, I am utterly convinced that our traditional worship services, I believe they're going to grow as well. As soon as we stop starting them at the crack of dawn and then ending them in the middle of the afternoon, I think it's going to be better. I think people are going to want to come to those services, right? Now, we got some 7:30 people here, don't we? Yep, we sure do. All right, good for you. All right, we're going to get there. But we got to be ready. We got to be strategic. We got to be wise. Lots of decisions to make. How do we maintain the warm, loving congregation that is risen Savior? How do we remain one church across three buildings? It's not impossible. We can do it. We just got to put some thought into it. We got to put some time into it. We have this preparation time right here, right now, just like the disciples. It's an exciting time for us. It was an exciting time for the disciples. Think about it. They're starting an entire church. Christianity is birthed on them on Pentecost Sunday. We, 120,000 people. Try and grasp that. No church affiliation. I'm not saying they don't have faith. They just don't have a faith community. And we are created to be in community. And we're created to be the church, right? The mission field, it's vast, and it's right outside our doors. So let's take our cue from that. Let's be prepared. Let's remind ourselves and believe in the promises of God. Let's be devoted to prayer and do that together. Then let's be wise. Let's be strategic. Let's get ready. Amen. Would you please stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, your blessings on this congregation are innumerable, and we are in awe and humbled by that. We pray that you would use all that you have given to us that would be about your mission, that we would be your witnesses, starting here, but even to the ends of the earth. Thank you for this time of preparation. May we use it wisely. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.